Because as a black person, I've always looked up to the penny. All African Americans should be able to identify with the penny. It's a very parallel existence. Look at the penny, y'all. Look at his story. Look at his life. Look at the penny. It's the only coin that's a different color from the rest of the game. You think it's by coincidence? With Abe Lincoln on the front of that motherfucker, come on. I just freed the slaves. That's all I did. Secondly, it has the least value of all the coins. Ain't appreciated. Thirdly, it's not accepted in vending machines, parking meters, or payphones. Otherwise saying, we don't serve your kind. I'm sorry, Penny. Hey, come on in, quarter, nickel, and dime. We got drinks in the back. Penny, what the fuck I just say? Get the hell out of here. You ain't on the guest list. Wishing wells and fountains down the street. Now, I understand. A lot of y'all can't swim, so you want to take that dip. Use your third eye. That's what I do. I can detect these racial undertones that you don't detect in your everyday lives. That's why I bring them to the forefront.
What up?
I'm Seven Bound Class.
This is the formula.
What up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another week, another episode of The Formula.
Are you pondering what we're pondering?
Question all day, every day. Oh, he sucked for that.
Man, it's the best receiver. Antonio Brown just
shot. Evidently, he's not. He should have held on to that.
Six drop passes, fourth fewest in the NFL. So that means a lot of people drop more passes.
if that's what the best looks like.
Oh, wow.
Is that Heath?
That was Heath.
That boy's a solid player.
He is, man. That was scary.
We are live from the Philosophical Brothers house.
Yeah, the Black Dynamite's dojo.
Okay. Hey, your Black Dynamite's dojo. Wait, with a little more hair on his chest. That's where we're at right now.
We're in a dojo, you know. That's where we'd like to calm our minds.
Yeah, shout out to Kung Lao.
Free the bodies. And just let your spirit connect with the world, man. This is where it goes down. This is where you reach inner peace.
Is that what you told her?
That's how I talk to him, man. I don't know. This is, hey, you outside. Hatred, anger.
In here.
Peace and love.
Pound town.
we're over here watching the game.
It's Steelers and Bengals. It's about third quarter.
Our division rivals.
Oh, gosh. Me and Darnell got into this little dispute before we did the podcast.
About what a rival is and what... In particular, who are the Steelers rivals?
And I don't know. We're sort of at a stalemate right now.
Yeah, because we've argued so much about it to a point where, like, what does rival really mean?
Yeah, I was just like, well, you can, you know, it's about being competitive and whoever, you know, you're competing against. And
and if you just say that, everybody's a rival, you know? Yeah. Then we figured, okay, does it have to deal with... beefs outside of the field, players get into it elsewhere on Twitter or face to face or something. Hatred for coaches, is that something you could look at? And then another breakdown, the coaches in general. Does Mike Tomlin have different rivals than Bill Cowher has? Or
yeah,
so it's like there's so many facets you could look at.
Did Dick LeBeau have rivals?
I mean, he's going to have to go with the head coach. He can't have rivals in the numbers. Oh, what a catch. That was a good catch right there.
When all else fails, you see Smiley.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we just started thinking about it because we're playing the Bengals right now. In my mind, Bengals are a huge rival of the Steelers. And Chauncey,
not even.
He doesn't see him as a rival at all.
he's just like, but they're winning in the division.
Yeah, and there's so much history between these two teams.
He's like, they
kept us out of the playoffs. We kept them out of playoffs. They've caused major injuries to us. We've caused major injuries to them. Hines Ward broke one of their linebackers' jaws. We broke Carson Palmer's knee. We destroyed their team in a way that forces us to be a rival in my mind. You know, it's they kept us out of the playoffs plenty of times. We've kept them out of the playoffs, and we actually compete. If you think about our rivalry between the Browns never really compete with us. They might beat us here and there every once in a while, but overall, we dominate them.
Oh, definitely. You know?
And the Ravens, that's obviously a rival. We agreed on that for sure. And then the Patriots.
But when I looked it up,
the Steelers' hatred for Tom Brady is unlike anything else known to this world, man. We in the city hate him with a passion.
Shout out to Tom Brady. I don't hate Tom Brady.
I don't really hate him either.
I used to not like him because everybody else didn't like him.
The thing is, I respect him as a player, you know, because what he does is just unbelievable almost. Him, Peyton Manning, they're like in a different role at the quarterback position.
The funny thing is, all he does is smile. He'll never talk shit either.
Nah, you got the wrong guy.
Tom Brady?
Tom Brady doesn't smile. Yo, he
smiles all the time.
He's a fierce dude. Nah, he's like competitive.
Yeah, he's very competitive, but he smiles all the time.
We're not thinking about.
He's not Hines Ward smiling.
But no, if you see when he plays, he's like, he's grunting, he's pointing at people, he's yelling at. Yo, he's a fierce dude.
He's making not, calls like.
I'm talking about. He's a trash talker. Tom Brady's
really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's like.
He hasn't shown me that side.
He's a competitive dude. I do like that about him. I don't mind that.
I don't
that.
Think I've ever heard him trash talk.
He's that type of dude. He ain't the friendly smile. I ain't going to say anything to you. You go up to Tom Brady's face, he'll go up to your face. He's that kind of dude, man. He ain't going to let you push him over, you know? Like,
he definitely gives you the vibe like, hey, so me and a couple of my frat brothers, we decided we're going to come pay you a visit.
So, yeah, man, I got what he does, man, is legendary, so it's hard not to respect that.
Legendary.
Yeah, he's an instant Hall of Famer. He's one of those dudes you know once he retires, it's not long before he's going to get put into the Hall of Fame. There's only a handful of people like that, you know? So it's like, you got to respect it, man. I don't know.
So is he better?
I don't like to respect it, but you got to.
Is he better than Terry Bradshaw?
It's different times. I don't know if he could survive when Terry Bradshaw played.
Yeah.
They didn't have those rules. You can't hit the quarterback high. You can't hit the quarterback low. There's some. All right, this is the rivalry between the Oakland Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the 70s. There's video highlights of them body slamming Terry Bradshaw. Like, yeah. Straight pile driver type stuff. It's unreal. It's like this. It looks like a cartoon almost. Like, you would think Terry Bradshaw would be dead by now.
Oh,
like,
really?
The stuff. Whoa, it's unreal. They would just like pick them up over their heads, throw them down. It's like, what is this, WWF? What is this? You know, it was something that the stuff they were able to do were something. And you know, the crazy thing, most of the rules created today were because of the Raiders and Steelers. You think about the cornerback Mel Blunt. The Raiders had a cornerback on their team too that always called Lynn Swann soft. You know, Lynn Swann was a two-time MVP for the Steelers, and he always complained about, like, the aggressiveness of the cornerbacks on the Raiders, and there was some incident that happened outside of football that the Raiders actually ended up getting in trouble for. I can't remember what it was, but ever since that, this one dude on, you know how they do those on the NFL Network, they have a look back at all the previous games, go over the old Super Bowls and all that,
yeah.
All the old rivalries, and he just constantly attacks Lynn Swann. Just
I don't know much about Lynn Swann.
Only thing I really know about him is probably when he tried to start that Arena Football League and get that up off the ground, and they weren't really doing too good.
Yeah. The thing about Lynn Swann, he actually had a pretty short career. He's one of the dudes in – oh, another thing, his seasons. He didn't do too well during the season, but once the playoffs came around, he was one of those dudes that his game upped something crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah. He always played well in the Super Bowls. He was like one of the go-to guys. He won 4 Super Bowls, him, Terry Bradshaw, Steel Curtain, all those dudes.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it was a solid time. And the Ravens were, I mean, the Raiders were a rival, a huge rival back then. But today, no one would ever consider the Raiders a rival. But yeah, so we got a not huge debate. And we couldn't figure out what constitutes a rival.
Yeah, that's all right. It's one of those agree to disagree type things.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll probably get a different answer from everybody you talk to.
Yeah.
Who they think is a rival to us. So.
Without a doubt, the Ravens are.
Well, yeah, everyone knows that. That's like, that's enemy territory.
Was it another thing that I approached on that was the number of rivals we can actually have. Mm-hmm. It's like, how many rivals is it too many? It's too many rivals before you say everybody's a rival now.
Right, yeah. But always the division is like something different. It's just because these teams are necessary for you to accomplish your goals. Like, you have to win these games. You have to be successful in your division to make it to the playoffs. If you don't beat these certain teams, it's this is your first obstacle, you know. So,
gotcha.
It's just so necessary to get past the Ravens, the Browns, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So right now, the Bengals are at the top, dominating. The Browns are right below us, and then the Ravens are doing horrible. We were the only team to lose to the Ravens this year.
Hey, like I said last week, man, it's like when it comes to teams that are garbage, that's when we give them the wins.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you look at this game, we're up on the Bengals right now.
Yeah, because they were
undefeated.
They can beat anybody else. Y'all can't beat us.
We just lost to another team that was winless last week, Kansas City Chiefs. So it's so weird how that works, man. We always play to the level of the competition.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. It's a constant theme of the Steelers.
We got some interesting topics this week.
Yeah, much. Just one I actually want to sneak in since Halloween just passed. I listened to this cool episode of This American Life.
Hmm.
Oh, damn. That's the best receiver in the league right there. One of the best. AJ Green. This American Life did a episode on, I can't remember what it was called, but it was on the myths of what is haunted.
Okay.
And they actually went into like scientific facts about what can cause like hallucinations and all that. Say if a house is haunted, there was a couple of cases where everybody was seeing something. The kids, the parents, and people who stayed at the house too long started seeing stuff.
Hmm.
And they found out that is a symptom of carbon monoxide poisoning. So, wow. Like, was it Amityville Horror?
Yeah.
All that is carbon monoxide poisoning.
What the hell?
Yeah. So, if everyone, they say if the kids start seeing something, because as an adult, going through like a long day, you can see stuff. You don't get enough sleep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you could start hearing stuff. But once the kids start seeing it, that's when you know it's carbon monoxide poison. Start hearing voices and stuff. Because they said it causes all of that. You start seeing stuff, you start hearing stuff. And then they went over like animals that get rabies and how like Cujo.
The crazy ass dog.
Yeah, stuff like that. Maybe Crazy Raccoon. I'm trying to think of some other movies where they depicted an animal that almost seemed unstoppable.
Like foaming at the mouth.
Yeah. And they were talking about how, that actually, when an animal gets rabies, it messes with the fight or flight nerves in their bodies. And it turns off the flight. It's always flight. So they're just over aggressive. They don't fear anything. So if a deer has rabies, it'll attack people. It'll attack. So rabies in animals is dangerous. And then they talked about something that was crazy. If you find a bat in your house,
which that has happened,
It happens randomly to people. Mm-hmm. They say you should go to the hospital immediately. They say you could get bit by a bat, but not have any marks. The way they bite, their teeth are so small.
Really?
Yeah, it wouldn't even show up on your body or something.
Yeah, I didn't even let it get that close.
But I'm saying they say if you're asleep and you wake up and you see a bat, you should go get checked just in case.
I came to my mom's house a while back and they had the door open and to the main part of the house. I'm just like, what is going on? Y'all, right? There's a bat in the house. I'm like, we live in the inner part of the city. How is there a bat anywhere in here?
Just blocked the field goal.
Did we?
Still, it's just blocked the field goal. I was just talking about how they always get close, but they never really get the. They actually just blocked one. That was pretty cool.
But there was this little bat flying around the house, and my mom was just like, get it. So I went upstairs. I had a broom swinging, trying to smack it with the broom. The thing was pretty fast. So it stopped moving. I just went in the room, got my BB gun, and just shot it to death. And I was like, well, that's the end of that. Put him in a bag, threw him on the door. And nobody got bit.
Right.
He didn't even get close enough.
That's how you handle business. Yeah, can't even mess with that type of stuff.
So he was like, I got...
We don't know about bats in the city.
I got Chief Keith training right here. Oh. Nothing but bang, bang.
Another thing that crazy that I heard, you know the term bat shit crazy?
Yeah.
You know what that comes from? There's these dudes that went to study, I don't know what
people that cut it. Bat shit is toxic.
Right.
It's just deadly.
Yeah, and these dudes, they were trying to document all these bats coming out of this cave or something, because there's a million bats in this one cave. And when they came out, when they come out the cave, they shit. immediately, right? So these dudes were covered in bat shit. And they went crazy and they died in 24 hours or something.
What the hell? They just ain't bathed? They just sat in it all day?
No, it's just like you said, it's toxic. And it was a million bats. It wasn't just a couple. They were completely covered in this stuff.
So they all had diarrhea?
I don't know exactly the whole story of what happened, but the story is they supposedly died under 24 hours. So
that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
What if they had shit to do the next day?
They were a documentarian, so they had some stuff to do. So yeah, that changes the whole path of life. I guess someone had to figure out what that shit does to people. Yeah.
I was a PBS kid growing up, so I watched Zoom, Kratz Creatures, Zaboomafoo, all that stuff, Arthur, Wishbone, you name it.
Wishbone was my show. Wishbone. Arthur was cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 2, 1, 3, 4.
I would think I was more of a Nickelodeon kid, because I watched Franklin, Little Bear.
I would have been a Nickelodeon kid had I had cable. So PBS was the only option. The choice was not mine.
Man, it's true, man. We don't determine our circumstances sometimes.
Yeah, I couldn't wait till Saturday. Watch all the cartoons I wanted.
What was you about to say about those shows?
Oh, the Kratz Creatures. Zaboomafoo, shows like that where they had these two brothers that would like go and travel to Africa and whatnot. And
that show still comes on though. So it's...
Yeah, I think it's like cartoon now or something like that. But they were like highly informative. Like highly informative. I learned so much watching those shows.
That's the type of shows you need. But yeah, that's animals as a kid, man. It's so fascinating.
Hey, your boy Tom was out there kissing the teammates. Like he's showing some love out there.
What you gotta do, man. That's what it's about. Yeah, what was your favorite animal as a kid?
The thorny devil lizard.
I don't know anything about that type of lizard.
Yeah, it's it lives in Australia. It eats ants. It's a cool looking thing. When it walks, it does like this like stutter step type walk though, like think of like a DJ when he got his hand on the record and he's like. Like, all his steps are just like that. So he'd be like... Yeah, man, this is one of the coolest things ever. I love the hell out of that thing. I wanted one so bad.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, okay. But the whole thing about, like, going to Australia, yeah, that's ridiculous. How about you?
Favorite... Man, I don't know. I would probably say...
Don't say like basic. Thing.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. Hyenas.
Yeah. Really? Hyenas. I don't feel like that's even basic. I feel like that's cool.
Yeah.
They are a threat.
Oh, nice. Look, D'Angelo. Hey, man, this is a good backup we got, man.
We're a threat to, was it hyenas or a threat to lions or tigers?
That's like
cheetahs,
the one
whatever.
Animal. They always say everyone knows in the jungle where the lions are. Even the lions know where the hyenas are, because it's like, there's no other species that will sneak up on a lion, you know? Hyenas are known to kill lions. So I like hyenas a lot. I like cheetahs a lot, just because it's like, just that being able, the fastest animal, reach 60 miles an hour or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 60, 65.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That's,
it's only for a short period of time.
Yeah, right.
After that, they'll be winded as hell.
400 yards, yeah, they go longer, they'll die. So cheetahs were cool. I liked polar bears. That's everybody's. That's a normal favorite, you know.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Look, man. Low key, bears terrify me because they can do damn near anything. They're like one of the creatures. Just like, okay, well, I'll just swim. Oh no, we're really good swimmers. You know what? I'll just run. No, we can run fast too.
Right.
I'll climb this tree. We can climb trees. Right. I can't fly, and neither can they.
Yeah, you do have to understand the bears, too, because, like, black bears climb trees, and they climb them like monkeys almost. They run up trees. Not even like, it's not even like climbing to them. They literally just shoot up trees. Then the brown bears can run through the forest like no other animal.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, you gotta, bears are scary. And then they eat everything.
They do.
So it's like everything looks like food to them. You, chickens, whatever it is. They eat, they say, and when they come to the cities, when they smell leather in cars, they chew the leather off the car seats.
They're just like, I like cow.
Yeah. It's like, dang, those animals are vicious. But polar bears.
I'd hunt a bear, though.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's going to be, I want to taste the beer. I want man to taste
by bow.
Oh, that was a cool show. Tailspin, remember Tailspin?
Yeah,
that's
with Baloo.
Yeah, Baloo and what's the big bear? I can't remember. But
I thought Baloo was the bear.
I thought he was the little one that used to surf on the little.
I forget.
Yeah, that's the old show. But yeah, those two shows. I mean, that's about it. I wasn't really into birds. I didn't like birds too much. They were cool, but I wasn't like, eh.
Yeah.
But I recently learned about, I can't remember what kind of falcon it is. You know, falcons can fly over 200 miles per hour.
Shit's as fast.
It's like, man, there's some crazy creatures. That's real, man. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I think Falcons might be the fastest bird.
Yeah, they are.
Now, anything going faster than 200 miles an hour is just like, why?
Yeah. It's cool that they can see moving that fast, you know? Like, it's just like, everything would look like a blur almost.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like a spot, like worms moving. It's like a crazy sight. Mm.
So, what topics you got for the week?
Yeah, we got, I guess we want to dig into that one we were kind of talking about beforehand, that the case with the high school.
Oh, yeah.
Girl in South Carolina.
That was crazy. You watched the video?
I did. I didn't, at first I tried to not watch the video.
Yeah, just trying not to get sucked in the social media.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know what happens. Obviously, yeah. Everybody's talking about this. I knew it was something I didn't want to see.
A lot of people are upset because they feel like that guy was pretty much put on trial by the public instead of, you know, like basically the court systems is how they see it.
Mm-hmm.
But who really put him on trial? He got fired from his job. There was no court hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that protocol? Like if how many of the students would, you know, be on their cell phone? Is that that's what you gotta do? You gotta flip them off the desk and blind them when they
hear. Yeah, right. So that should have been the questions they asked. Like they should have been like, so this isn't the first time this happened. Obviously, this couldn't have been the first case of someone disturbing a class.
The sad part was there was kids protesting for a dude to get his job.
I did see that. How crazy is that?
I'm like,
had it written on his shirts.
Yeah, I'm just like, what?
It was like black kids too, which is. Actually, I don't like to see, man. It's like, hey, man, this girl. In that case, too, after you hear her story, man, no one's on her side. No one in that school. It's like she was all alone. She didn't have any. It didn't seem like no friends came out to support her. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that sucks, man.
I say it all the time, man. Like, does the actions taken fit the crime?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, he went over and above the call of duty.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not following the protocol of how you're supposed to handle a situation, yeah, now your job is on the line.
Yeah.
And that's just for anybody.
Yeah, I watched the Young Turks reported on it.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, the big thing they were saying is, like, what are cops doing in schools? They said there's more arrests when the cops are in schools. They say it's because crime is up, but it's just, nah, man, that's what cops do. Cops arrest people.
You're arresting people in school. Think about that.
Yeah, how crazy is that? And for just doing stuff, I just watched a video about some high school kid getting punched by a cop or something in schools. And it's just, yeah, you got these aggressive people who carry guns. And they're known to enforce the law, not withhold the law. They're going to push for aggressiveness. They don't. Recently, all the cases we've seen, cops are going to escalate the situation.
Absolutely.
Not tone it down. There hasn't been too many cases that's come out recently where the cops were the peacemakers. They're usually the aggressors. You get aggressive with them, they're going to turn it up even a notch higher than you, you know?
It's just like, does everything require you to put somebody under arrest or, you know, put cuffs on them? Why isn't, like, a good conversation? Like, hey, look, I don't know what you're going through or, you know, why this is going on. But, you know, if you just come with me so we can, you know, go and get this handled. Now, granted, I don't know the procedure of what the build-up was prior to that moment of, you know, the conversation he had with her. But you picked the whole daggone desk up, Doc.
Yeah. And it's just a high school.
And drug her on the floor, and it's just like.
And she was just sitting there. It wasn't like.
Oh, you're not going to leave? Okay, cool.
Oh, you know what they said on the Young Turks? If he was able to do that, why don't you just drag her seat out the classroom. You
something.
Know? If like, if, yeah, man. I think honestly, we're too accepting of violence nowadays. We're so used to it. Man, about time we get our age, we done seen so many people murder, so many people, the entertainment, how we entertain ourselves, our minds are so warped to violence being acceptable. So, so many people's eyes, they don't even see this as that bad.
Yeah, it's, you're right, we've learned to desensitize, and we've just learned to accept it.
Yeah.
It's like, right, that's why rated R isn't no longer rated R. Mm. PG-13 is no longer just PG-13.
Yeah.
Because you can go to a movie and see them in there shooting people, cussing, and blowing up a whole city.
Right.
But it's PG-13.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this is just a real sad story. Just, it's because once you hit a story of the chick, the high school girl, she, her mother just died recently.
Mm-hmm.
She's in foster care now. It's just like, now she's dealing with this. She got like a broken arm or something. Was there a medical report on it?
I didn't read that.
And then did you hear about the girl, one of the people that recorded it, end up getting arrested?
No.
For videotaping it?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, because they said she wasn't cooperating. So she ended up getting arrested too. So one of those, I don't know whose video, there was a couple that came out. One of them, I know it was another black chick, she ended up getting arrested. So it's crazy.
What they said was, what a lot of people, oh, you shouldn't have, you know, I don't know why the kids are having their phones in class, and, you know, they need to be taught to be more respectful. And I mean, at the end of the day, if she was just like, well, I'm not leaving, could that just be her prerogative?
Yeah. And she, man, it wasn't really that bad. How big of a disturbance? Was it just disrespectful to the teacher, or was it really disturbing the class? What does it really come down to? That's like another, you gotta evaluate that teacher too.
Yeah, man. I mean,
like,
I've been kicked out of class before.
Yeah, we've all been kicked out of class for, like, goofy stuff, too.
Yeah.
How rightful was this discipline towards her? Her, I had the teacher even suggesting to kick her out. How rightful was that? You know, was it just because she was slightly disrespectful, or was he just having a bad day or something?
Well,
I think that's something that needs to be evaluated, too. Because, obviously, he started it. I mean, well, she might have started it, but he obviously took it to a whole other level,
they
calling the police officer.
They said the FBI is investigating this, though.
I don't know how much I like that.
I'm like, why is the FBI investigating this guy flipping his kid out of his chair? Is this even a FBI trial case? Is there investigation needed?
Yeah.
I think it's very blatant that we see what happened.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, the thing is too, that's another thing, everybody, we all see the same thing, but everybody just sees it different.
Absolutely.
So it's, yeah, there's too many people accepting of violent reactions. Mm. Towards, what I don't like is, oh, dang, he almost got away from that. I don't like violence towards non-violence. That doesn't make any sense to me. When a cop is violent, like, this scenario doesn't make any sense to me. Say a cop is going to arrest somebody for marijuana or drugs or something, right? And he, first thing he does is pull out a gun. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, being able to show violent aggression towards a non-violent situation, that, for some reason, in my head, just doesn't seem right. When you meet violence with violence, that makes sense. When it's like a non-violent situation and you bring violence into it, it just seems wrong.
There's always the problem that it's never expected for you to actually want to defend yourself. it's never expected for you to actually want to protect your own life and the ones that are with you or the ones you love. It's always, well, you should just do what the cops say.
Right.
Like, so what if the cops are in the wrong? Well, he's a police officer.
Yeah, you do that's what sucks.
And it's just like, well, he's hitting me. Mm-hmm. And if I hit him back, it's not self-defense.
Right.
It's resisting arrest. Mm-hmm. That's a double standard.
Yeah, the levels of... it's crazy, man. You ever see a cop speeding?
Yeah.
It's like, am I allowed to speed now? You know? Why is this dude...
You speed, you don't have your siren on or nothing.
Yeah. Why is this dude above me? I dislike that. Just or like the basic things they're allowed to do.
When they throw the lights on, they get through
just
traffic.
Just to run a red light or something. It's like this... What is going on? Are we equal or below?
No, we're
definitely
equal.
Below, but they just don't admit it, you know?
Like, protect and serve? Look, man, if we really wanted to, we can just apply and just be police officers.
Yeah, that's what...
It's like the union that just keeps on giving.
I think we talked about this before, but if I ever wanted to become a criminal, I would become a cop first.
Yeah, you get away with anything.
Yeah, it'll just be so much easier.
Uh-huh.
I'll have access to so much more stuff. I'll have more right to kill somebody than anyone else. You know?
Absolutely.
So, if I ever wanted to do horrible stuff, I would become a cop first.
And just be like, I felt like my life was in jeopardy.
Exactly. That's all you gotta say.
I felt threatened.
His voice raised. Even, you know what's confusing to me? They could say stuff like that. And it's like, you don't even know this guy. You don't even know how he talks. How can you measure his level of raising his voice? You never even heard him talk in a basic sense. There's so many just weird things that...
Did you ever hear Meek Mill's interview on The Breakfast Club, one of the last ones he did?
Nah, I don't think I caught it.
He was talking about... he had to go to jail for a situation that happened. He ended up getting arrested... He said the cops beat, like, the dog shit out of me. He was bleeding all over the pavement. And they were just like, oh, yeah, he reached for my weapon. And he tried to hit, he was hitting me and da-da-da. And he's just like, why are you up there lying? Like, I ain't do nothing. Like, y'all literally just ran up on me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I ended up seeing that cop, you know, years later after, you know, us, you know, me being out. And, like, finally, you know, blowing up and stuff. And he's just like, hey, look, man. It's just, don't ever, you know, do nothing like that again. Like, you're just putting, you know, just ruining, you know, people's lives for no reason.
It's a horrible thing in our system now. And there's no way to slow it down.
The thing is, there's no safety net for us either.
No, it's just like, no.
What do you do when you got a problem with a cop?
Right.
You file a complaint with the police department.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So you file a complaint with the actual, his whole team.
Right, yeah. Like, they're not going to bend more. They know him. They know that guy. They
exactly.
Don't know you. It's like, you could be a liar. They just look at you. That's what really scares me. When it comes... to side to side, they'll always go with a... Say officer has 5 years on duty, and you get in a dispute with that officer. You go to court for something, and it has to be his word versus your word. How will you ever win that? You're not as well known to the justice system as well as this cop is.
And then if you got any record of any sort...
there's no chance.
It's flame on. You lose, hands down.
So it's just so rigged against the average man, really.
Protect and serve.
Yeah, and you're just so below everything almost, man. It's just underneath the standard, especially when they kind of have to put people in jail. When the state guarantees 80% of a prison is going to be filled,
I would
make a deal with the private prisons. That stuff, as long as that's in order, how will you fix anything?
So I got into a dispute with this week. Darnell knows about it. I sent him some information about it, and just, I don't know. I'm not typically the person that will respond to anything that's like put online for Twitter, Instagram, any type of social media. It's like if you comment on something, it's just like if I disagree with it or something, I'm not willing to get into a tizzy about it. But I don't know, this one sort of was just like, I don't understand, like, this is like completely wrong. It's like a completely wrong viewpoint. And there was a post I put up, and it said, black guys, being respectful to cops and expecting not to, get shot is equivalent to a black, a woman wearing clothes and men saying, she asked me to rape her. Yeah, right. So it's just like sort of saying like, no matter what I do, that does not justify the actions that come with that. Mm. And one of the people that replied to this message basically said that, well, I'm a white guy and I've dealt with the cops before and I've had run-ins with them and they've had, AR-15s pointed at me and, basically saying that, with police brutality and the shootings, they've killed more white men than black men. And I looked at it and was just like, why don't you see the full picture of this? So granted, yeah, I did my research. Yeah, they shoot more white men than blacks. It's a fact.
Right.
In the same token, the population in the United States is predominantly white. Right. On a range of 66% to 72% of white, just Caucasian.
Right.
African Americans make up 13% of the United States.
That's crazy. It's crazy how it's dropping so fast. It was just 17%. Maybe like 5 years ago.
So with the numbers of 2014, there was 175 deaths in a Caucasian community, and there was 100 in the black community.
Man.
I'm like, you outnumber us 5-1.
Right.
Yeah, it's still a problem for us. I was like, if I give you, if you have $50, Darnell, and I have $10, and we both pitch into something, we're buying something, and it's just like, it's $10, and we both pitch in $5, who's it affecting more?
It's
affecting me. Yeah, we both put it in the same amount, but because I generally have a lower amount of value, I'm at a loss.
Right. Larger, bigger loss.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, why? Like, those are like definitely some major factors in that. And I told him, I just, far as cops go, yeah, there are some good cops out there. I'm not going to put that past it. I've met, some good cops out there. But generally speaking, when it comes to, situations I've dealt with, that's 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. Mm. It's like, at the last, 7-8 times I've been pulled over.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 70% of the time, I just fit the description.
Right.
I would say, why'd you pull me over? Oh, well, can I search your vehicle? Why'd you pull me over? Well, you're seeming a little hostile. Because you're not answering my question. Mm. Why'd you pull me over? Can I search your vehicle? You just step out of the vehicle. I just want to pat you down. Have you been drinking? It's just like, all of a sudden these are random stops, and then they'll, oh, well, it turns out that, we were looking for somebody, and you fit the description. I'm just like, fit the description of who? Like, who are you looking for?
Yeah.
oh, well, you know, don't worry about that. And I'm just like, man, what's your name, man? Like, what's your badge number? I said, because I'm gonna call some people that's down on the police force that investigate dirty cops.
Right.
Oh, well, who do you know down there? Don't ask me no questions now. You ain't had no answers for me before.
Right, right.
But because I'm just some black guy driving, you're just like, oh, well, I'll just, you know, pick on him.
Yeah.
Now, out of the other times I've been pulled over, yeah, I was doing what I shouldn't have been doing. I was speeding. I was making, you know, illegal turns. So, yeah. I could, when I got pulled over, it was like, okay, boom. I know I'm getting pulled over. I know what we're talking about now. I didn't have to get out of the vehicle. What just happened?
My bad.
Because you're too excited. What'd I miss?
Oh, nice play. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off like that.
What'd I miss?
Interception in the end zone by the Steelers. My bad.
It's all right. It's an exciting time.
But... yeah,
you're overexcited right now.
That was a good play, man. It was like they're about to score too.
Oh wow!
Yeah, good play.
Yeah, he took his cookies. But
yeah, it sucks the portion of our knowing that we're such a small percentage of this country. How many of us have to deal with those situations?
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. It's hard to find a black person that hasn't encountered that.
The thing is, even the president this week gave a little speech talking about his dealings with cops. Yeah. And this is before he became president.
You hear Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, everyone deals. It's like, it's so hard to find a black person that hasn't been in a situation from the highest, from the president. From one of the smartest, Neil deGrasse Tyson, an astronomer, you consider, I don't know what he's a scientist, but the dude that speaks about the cosmos like no other, he has stories about dealing with racism, how he walked into a store. Oh, he said he walked into a store and some white dude was robbing the store. And he went out the same time as he did because he knew they would search the black dude. They would search Neil deGrasse Tyson and not him. So he walked out with him so they wouldn't stop him. A white dude did that. So, yeah, he tells this crazy story. And it's, they instantly search him and let the white dude go.
Wow.
But yeah, and the white dude robbed the store. So it's like, it's so deep. It goes beyond what people think, man. If you ever hear... Malcolm X talks about it in his book when he goes to Mecca, how we naturally attach to who we look like. Like everybody was peaceful, everyone wore the exact same clothing, but everyone migrated towards the people of their color. He said it's like it's so deep in our mind to we're more comfortable around who we look like, and then in this country,
some of that is pre-programming though.
Yeah, definitely. That's just biological.
Yeah, you do gravitate to people that you get along with, and look like. I guess you can say that. It's not the case for me all the time.
I mean, but that's because it's like we're breaking away from our natural roots, like mentally.
The natural roots, I can't necessarily vouch on that one because it's just like. I believe that we were all put here to commingle, like to not just to be segregated amongst each other.
What I'm thinking about natural roots. Let me see what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like how lions can't see other felines as they're the same. It's like something in us that causes us to gravitate towards what looks like us. It's not even like a thought. It's not like we're thinking about it.
Is it like when we're walking down the street and you see somebody else black and we instantly give them a head nod? Is it like that?
That's only because we know we're minorities. I think that's all that is.
But the crazy part is we do it instinctively, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like nobody told us we had to do this head nod. But we, like, when we see each other, it's just like,
yeah,
what's up?
It's automatic, yeah.
Sometimes I'll be sitting at a red light. I'll see a white guy sitting in the car. I'll give him the head nod. And they'll give it back.
It's just like how we're, like, how we're getting away from natural roots. It's kind of like monogamy, too.
Yeah.
That's not natural. That's us overpowering our biology, pretty much. We're designed to mate.
Very true.
So we're, like, advancing mentally to go beyond that. You know? So, I don't know. The history is still rooted in this country. It's still deeply rooted. You're not that far from it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
look, man. When you can say that your parents were around
to segregation was going on.
Segregation was going on. Martin Luther King still being alive. It's just like, look, man. That was like yesterday for real.
And there's some easy things America can look at to be like, okay, we're racist. If you think about the Ku Klux Klan,
yeah, man,
and the Black Panthers, if you just look at those two groups, you can see how racist this country is. Just because no one in the Ku Klux Klan was ever considered a terrorist. We talk about this all the time. And in the Black Panthers, I think there was over 100 members that were added to the most wanted list, and they've never even killed anybody. They just threatened to defend themselves, and they were added to the most wanted list. So it's just something that basic you could look at and be like, okay, we're racist. This is a racist country.
The hacker group Anonymous, did you hear what they're about to do?
I did see that. Yeah.
So they're about to release about 1,000 names
of Ku Klux Klan members. Yeah.
That's gonna change things.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you, I can't remember, there's this MySpace story. The dude that originally hacked MySpace. This is the story that made me start thinking differently about the aggressiveness of police. Some dude hacks MySpace, messes it up. They have to shut it down for like 3 months to figure out what he did. So the FBI goes to his house and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Was it Tim Ferriss had him on?
Yeah, Tim Ferriss had him on the podcast. And he was explaining his story. And he was saying, like, he wasn't home at the time. So they ended up finding him at a store. They found his car. Mm-hmm. And they were in suits and stuff. So they approached him nice. But back at his house, they kicked in his door. His girlfriend and his roommate was there.
Guns on him everywhere.
Yeah. And this is the story when I was like, okay, we're going way too far with this. Because he was like, what am I going to do? I got keyboards and mouses in my house. What did they think ahead on me? I hacked something, you know? And this is like, yeah, the aggressiveness of the police force, FBI, is just way over the top, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, how could he possibly defend himself, you know? So it's, the over-aggressiveness is just,
self-defense is limited. You can only defend yourself with certain people.
Right. So that's what I think they're afraid of too, is I guess they don't know who, so they just assume everybody has weapons. That's just a bad way to approach life. Just everyone's possible of being harmful to you. And that's how the cops look at it.
Did you see, was it last week before? They seized a house that had 10,000 guns in it.
I did not see that. God 10, dang.
10,000 guns.
One person lived in this house?
Yeah, he had like a...
Yeah. Was he selling them? He had like a shed.
Well, when they caught him, he was moving drugs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But dude, you get 10,000 guns. 10,000. You know what 10 guns look like?
Yeah.
10,000.
That is crazy. Like, where do you even keep all those guns?
He had like a shed. And he said they were stacked up.
just thrown in there,
stacked up. And he had
How did he get that many guns?
Look, man. That's
a lot of gun shopping. You know, it's
like, but a lot of them was illegal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It must have been an old. It had to be an old dude to accumulate that many guns.
Yeah.
That would take some time.
Older white dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. 10,000 guns, guy. That's a true fanatic right there. There's no way he could shoot 5% of those guns. He probably haven't even shot.
My thing is, why were you sitting on all those guns, though? Like, even if you had them, like, in your possession and you were selling them.
Maybe he was a doomsday dude type dude. He would have been the richest dude ever. If, like, he would have been the man on top.
Nah, dog. They would have. Cats would have ran up on him. They would have overtook
him. I think they would have been too nervous. They would have probably thought he had grenades or something.
This is very debatable.
Yeah, 10,000 guns, man. I'm sure there's a grenade in there somewhere.
Can you hear the music that's playing?
Nah, what's playing?
Whip.
Nene?
Yeah.
You see that video somebody did of like an old record?
Yeah. that's what they would have done with this song. I think it's so funny that you can't hear the music.
But it sounds...
You hear the shit clear as hell.
Yeah, okay. It's like...
Like, I can't... ain't that crazy?
Yeah. We're super loud, though.
Yeah, man.
We're trying to figure out this microphone. It's... The stuff it picks up, it's unbelievable.
He had to cut the fridge off.
Yeah, man, it sounded like it was, I don't know, hovering over us. It sounded so loud, man. It sounded like a helicopter almost.
But like, without this recorder, we don't hear the fridge.
Right? Yeah. So it's,
we didn't even know the fridge was a factor.
It's bizarre, but I guess that shows you the quality of the machine, I guess.
Yeah, man. You want to talk about the Olympic thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I wish I had my phone.
Where did I put my phone? You did have it.
Just get this dude's name.
Kind of sleepy.
Oh, but this story came out finally about the 1968 Olympics. There was two... runners, there's this historic picture of two black dudes holding up black love and fist, you know, black power fist. But recently, this story came out about the other dude. There's this, the dude that came in second place. The U.S. runners that came in first place was Tommy Smith. And then John Carlos came in third place. And the story came out about the guy that came in second place, who was an Australian. His name was Peter Norman. And the story pretty much revolves around this dude, in a way. Because he's the one that gave the U.S. runners the gloves. The black gloves. And
Why did he have gloves?
I guess he just had them.
It looks like a left and right pair.
Yeah. So one person's wearing the left one, one person's wearing the right one. And then he, after he understood what they were doing... He actually asked him, what can I do to show you that I support? So he actually got a pendant that he ended up wearing on his chest from a different, from another Olympian. It was a OPHR badge in solidarity to Smith and Carlos. So
what was the race of the guy that came in second place?
It was a white dude, Australian.
Huh.
And this big story came out about him because no one really knew what happened to him. And Australia at that time was really racist. So once he got home, he didn't have any support from anybody. And so in future Olympics, when he qualified for the teams, they just didn't let him compete. So they just had all this hatred towards this dude that supported something that pretty much changed the world.
That's so crazy because I know so little about Australia.
Same. But it shows you how effective the United States is on affecting the culture of the world. Oh, wow.
Is he out of bounds, though, right?
Hopefully.
Damn, because that would be a hell of an interception. Oh, he would be. He had like 30 seconds out there on the field.
Wow, what a interception. That was, wow, that was unreal.
He pushed him away and everything.
Wow. We just witnessed this crazy interception.
Ben's face is like, are you serious?
That was crazy. Man, the game's so close, too. 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh up 10-6. Whew. Can't afford those mistakes. Mm-mm. But yeah, it's just crazy to see how, since in America, the United States, they were racist over here. Somehow in Australia, they hate black people too. How did that happen? What is your need to hate us?
So what is your need?
We have enough people hating us already. We
haters gonna hate, man.
Yeah, true. Can't stop it. But yeah, so they just put him through hell over there. He's never able to compete again, even though he still holds the record to this day for the 200 meter for Australia. And that was the race that he competed in and got the silver medal for. He brought it back a silver medal for his country, and they said, "No, nah, we don't." We don't fuck with you. So it's just messed up to see somebody.
Let's go.
Just have to go through that, you know, just for... hopefully, man, he's being praised now, though. If he's still alive, you know.
A little late.
It is late, but I mean... he was one of the first to be like, this is wrong. I'm a white guy and I stand by these black athletes' side, even when the country wasn't. So it was like, he was doing something beyond what our own country was doing.
Ooh, shovel pass. Dang. Yeah, man. When it comes to like racism or people worried about what your sexual orientation is and stuff like that, it's just like, why is this a factor? Why does this matter? Is this changing your day in any way, shape, or form?
It's weird how, like, that people are affected. Like, they get so angry about just seeing certain things. And there's some people that see gay people and they get heated for some reason. Come on, man, relax.
But you hate people because of that,
though. Yeah, that's just bad for you. It's bad for you to be like that. So close. But so far.
He was like, coochie coo. Just couldn't get there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've been listening to the Champs podcast.
Who's that?
It's Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher. These two stand-up comedians. Moshe Kasher, he pops up in a bunch of different TV shows. He's in the league. And a bunch of different other small parts. He's never been had any huge role. I think he got a... Zoolander 2 is about to come out. He's a big role in that or something.
You're going to see that, though, right?
I'm not going to see that. Zoolander. And Neil Brennan was the co-creator of the Chappelle Show.
Really?
Yeah. So these are two white dudes that only... their premise is having black guests.
I think I know who Neil Brennan is.
Yeah, he's a funny dude, man. He's a stand-up comedian too. He does.
Was he in Hangover?
He might have been in Hangover. I'm not sure though. But I mean, him and Dave Chappelle are actually real close.
Yeah.
So their premise is they're two white dudes that are like deep into black culture. So they like to have black guests and see how they were brought up and try to figure out a bunch of different stuff. So this on their podcast, this comes up, like racial issues come up constantly, because everyone's trying to figure out an answer. But it's hard to remain hopeful when there's so much hatred and no one willing to take the blame for it.
Nobody willing to take the blame. It's always offset by, oh, well, that's not it. That couldn't be it.
Yeah, Earth was before I was born. It happened a long time ago.
I was speaking to my aunt this week, and I said, I get so tired of, you know, whenever the black community or the, you know, black culture tries to, like, really make a movement, how it's no longer our movement anymore. Mm. It's always like, oh, well, no, we're part of that too. Mm. I'm like, hold on. So when we say Black Lives Matter, all of a sudden it's All Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, where were you when we needed you?
Right, yeah.
Where were you, like, if All Lives Matter, then how come you're not protesting out here for us then? Mm-hmm. If All Lives Matter. Why is it justified when, you know, a cop kills somebody else of color?
Right.
Evidently, all lives don't matter then.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel like that life matters.
Yeah. There was this dude on they had on there. I can't think of his name, but he wrote a book called How to Be Black. But he always, he brought up the issue. You know how everyone says, like, yeah, you worried about the cops killing black people, but what about black people killing black people? And he was like, he said something that I never even, simple thing that I never heard anyone else say, but he was like, well, every black person isn't being paid to protect and serve, you know? And I was like, yeah, that's a simple and easy answer.
Yeah.
Like, cops are being paid to protect and serve. Every black person, we're supposed to take on the role of a cop just because we're black, you know? We don't ask white people to take on roles as cops. When they're,
when you have, when you're mixing, when you have the have-nots with the have-nots, and when I say have-nots, I'm talking majority majority of the minority. So whether you're Mexican, you're Asian, you're black, we are the minorities of this country. Well, you're putting us all together, and you have, you know, a little bit of money. I got a little bit of money. But for some strange reason, all of a sudden you have five more dollars than me. That means to me that those $5 belong to me too. Why should you come up? So it's that crabs in a bucket mentality. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're getting a hit? Why are you getting a hit? Why are you getting these handouts? That should be me. I struggle just as hard. I went through more than you. So we're going at each other's necks for the scraps. Mm-hmm. For the scraps that we have. But if we were outside of this bucket, outside of the projects or these small damping communities, maybe we could flourish better.
Right, yeah.
They say it's always about closing the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
I don't think that's, you can't, that's not a good way to look at it. Because the haves, the gap is so big that just the attempt will harness the have-nots.
That, look, when it comes to meeting halfway, the have-nots can't even come up. That means that the haves have to come down to that level.
Yeah, which would never happen. That's the big problem. And you got to think of what's connected with the haves. If you think about the police force, if you think about the military, if shit goes down, they're protecting them.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to survive on our own. The people who are like middle class and lower.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there's going to be walls for the rich. And we're going to have to try to get over those walls and get gunned down by military.
You seen the movie 2012, right?
Nah.
You didn't see the movie 2012?
What's that about? 2012?
about it being the end of the world. And they built those big ships.
I never watched that. I know what you're talking about now, though.
But they took all the geniuses and all the billionaires, and they all bought seats.
Oh, dang.
So it's just like, yeah. Oh, you're broke. You don't have any money. Oh, well, you can't get on this boat.
I was hearing somebody talk about how South Africa. They said it's literally like good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods are literally like streets away, but it's like war zones in the bad streets. So in the good streets, there's literally high walls keeping everyone out of the neighborhoods.
What was this, Game of Thrones?
pretty much, man. They said it's like just like a street over. It's crazy. But they'll be like, this is the best block in the neighborhood. And it's like walls all surrounding it. You can't leave for too long.
Is this where Donald Trump got this idea from?
It could be, man. I don't know.
I'm going to throw a curveball in the system real quick. Last week, me and Darnell talked about going to go take some dance classes.
Mm, oh, yeah. We do got to talk about that.
Yeah. So, we went there for evaluation. Darnell went first.
God damn it, Ben. He just blew the game.
Is that the second, third interception?
Oh, man.
Oh, he almost got a touchdown. Oh, well. So, now that Ben has arrived at giving a funeral to this game, you want to give a... the people of the formula some insight about how your evaluation went?
Yeah, I was kind of confused about my evaluation. I think Chauncey is going to have the same thing. I think at first, the ladies in there are extremely nice. So it's hard to get a read on them. I couldn't tell if I was doing bad, doing good, because they were like just so happy,
supportive,
yeah, just way over supportive almost. So I couldn't get a feel, so I couldn't tell.
It's like you didn't suck doing anything,
yeah, right. So
it's like I can't dance, I know I suck, so.
Exactly. I've never done this in my life.
You're just such a natural,
yeah, right. So I was kind of hard getting a read, so I was trying to crack into the what's the lady's name? Trista was my teacher, that was your teacher too, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to tell her you're being way too nice. but she said I was doing pretty good. So, all we did was the basic footwork of each thing, foxtrot, rumba, salsa, tango.
Did you do the waltz?
Did we do the waltz? I can't remember if I did the waltz. I actually got a list of everything I did.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. But it was just a bunch of stuff. I mean, we pretty much did box steps, forward step, back step, circle around the room, did some spins, worked some spins in. So it was real fun because I was doing something brand new, you know.
You liked it?
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Bought some classes?
I did buy some classes. So I'll be going for like the next couple of months now.
Yeah.
So just my schedule stupid. So just 2 days a week.
But you'll be cutting a rug.
I got to go hard, man. I got to get my money's worth for them 2 days. You know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was fun. Good teacher. I told Chauncey, I guess the owner wasn't there later. I went early. So I met two owners that run the studio.
Darnell had like a 1 o'clock appointment.
Yeah, the whole crew was there, pretty much set because they were setting up for their Halloween party.
And I had like a Fat 15 show.
And you actually got to do a class too.
Yeah, when I went, my evaluation was about the same as Darnell's. They asked them, you know, how Darnell went. They said, "Oh yeah, he did really good." And I was like, That's what's up. Like, I would expect nothing less.
Crazy thing. I told you this.
Yeah.
They were asking me to be a teacher. I was like, I don't even know how to dance yet.
Like,
just because of my build, though, because I got like the slender, tall build. So I
go guess ahead, keep marketing yourself. Okay.
But now, honestly, that's what they're saying. Like, we don't have any tall teachers.
Log on to OKCupid right now and look up profile name Darnell.
You actually could, man.
Darnell Dynamite.
He's got a profile.
But, he's looking for you.
Yeah, so I guess they're just... I guess I'll be like a... People see me dancing, even if it's not even that good. But like pool people, and I guess since I'm tall. I don't know, I guess they're not used to seeing tall. I'm not even that tall, though. That's what's...
It's all for me. You're compared to me, you're tall.
And compared to them, I was tall, too. So, obviously, they don't have a basketball team, so... I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If I could get good enough to teach, hey, man, I might be teaching rumba one day, you know?
Yeah. He was like, posture, posture.
Right. chest up, arms strong. But, yeah, that'll be fun, man. I wouldn't mind teaching.
I feel you.
If I'm good enough, you know? But if I'm, they're just trying to get me to, I don't know, maybe they were being salesmen, too. I have to say that.
Yeah.
They were selling it, you know, so we'll see how this next couple of months go.
Yeah.
We'll get to the truth.
Look, man, I went there, did my evaluation and whatnot, and I didn't buy any classes because I'm about to be going on vacation soon. So I told them when I come back from vacation, I'll get some classes done.
And then you'll be able to get some true insight, you know, since I've already
absolutely
done a month or something. Okay.
When I was there,
tell you what they're about.
She said, well, you can stick around, you know, check out some of the other classes we got going on. She said, if you want, there's a beginner's class for cha-cha. You learn how to cha-cha. And I'm just like, I got cha-cha. I like cha-cha. And she was like, well, there's a cute young lady out there that may need a partner. So, you know, if you want to stick around, you could dance with her. And y'all could just learn it together. Mm-hmm. So, we sat out, you know, I sat out there, and young lady came in the room. She was coming in, she's like in town in Pittsburgh for a couple of months. She's coming from Spain. And we learned how to cha-cha. So,
what's the basis of cha-cha? What was like the first thing they taught you?
How to step. So, it's like a left foot side step. Then right foot step back, and then you sort of, you know, like you can like move your feet in a choppy manner, like to the right, and that's like the cha 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 part. It's just like she's like left back cha cha cha, front back cha cha cha. Okay. So there was sort of like a back and forth. Well, she was just like okay. Like, at first, she was doing the countdown. She was like, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you had the music going. Mm-hmm. What song was it? I think it was, like, the one of the Pussycat Doll songs.
Okay.
And you had the music going. And after a while, she was like, okay, you're going to do the countdown. I'm like, okay.
Right. Yeah, the man always leaves.
So. Yeah. So she's just like, okay, you're going to ask her for a hand to dance. So... She showed me.
That's another thing I don't think me and Chance were ready for. Yeah, dancing is like intimate.
Yeah, like
you are very close to people. It's like
no, she's like no, you're gonna put your hand here. I'm like, am I? Like,
should we warm up to this? It's like yeah, it's dancing is close. You're close with the partner. It's inches apart, man.
We got 1:47 to seal this deal. I'm surprised they didn't...
They scored a touchdown, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't just, like, bury us and just, like, do the cheat move and just keep get a couple first downs and let the time run out.
I don't have much for it. It's really good. They're just trying to waste some time.
But they kicked the field goal, so they're giving the ball back.
Yeah, they understood what they were doing.
Yeah. Well,
when obviously, Ben's been making mistakes, so they're hoping he makes another one.
We was doing the cha-cha moves, and we did the spins.
Okay.
And then we did a, it was like close frame. I think it was close frame when we were doing it. And it was pretty tight.
Did they show you what you do with your upper body or just your lower body?
It was both.
Okay.
She had some really good pointers. She said, when you move, never move, never make your steps bigger than the actual shoulder width of your partner.
Okay.
She goes, so when you step within their premise.
All right, cool.
So they're not trying to catch up and you're not off beat. You're sort of in sync together.
Okay.
And she said, you're doing all this moving. She said, whenever, you know, you're finishing your spins and whatnot, quit leaning all types of different ways. She's like, tuck those elbows in and, you know, just keep your arms, like, steady. And the pointers just really helped.
Okay.
We were doing spins before you know it. And then she was just like, okay, so you're going to try this way. And this one, she was like, this one's a cross cut. I'm like, I don't like these words. Like, this seems a little complicated. But after a while, and a class was only about 45 minutes. After a while, we got it.
Yeah, nice.
Like, we were dancing. It felt like I was dancing. And I was...
And you weren't, like, thinking completely.
I wasn't thinking about it. And whenever it came to the spin moves, like, you're not telling them a spin. Your body language is telling them to spin.
Yeah, okay.
So, when I would do certain things with my body, she would know that she's ready to spin. Or we're going to turn our bodies a certain way.
Okay.
And it was just really cool to communicate in a different way.
Right.
Pretty much living the dream, you know?
Yeah. How many people showed up?
To the entry class?
Yeah.
It was just me and her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was like a group class.
Yeah. I left there, and I was just, I like to cha-cha.
I hope there's more people.
Yeah. She said, I spoke to that young lady that I was dancing with, and she said that she went to a couple more classes, and for us, like, newcomers... she was like the only newcomer.
There were some beginners.
Like regulars there though.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah, that's might set me back a little bit too.
Just be dancing with your teacher.
Right. Nah, well, not she cool. It's a nice thick joint. I was dancing.
Good boy said a nice thick joint.
Nah, she was cool, man. She was like she ain't afraid to make you
feel like a man.
She'll force you to, like, she was aggressive.
Like, oh, man, look.
Like, you going to get up here, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I know you're uncomfortable, but you gonna get where you need to be.
So we had the left hand is the guide hand, and then the other hand, the right hand, was, like, for, like, the support. Like, I'm supposed to, like, put that, like near her arm or armpit in that area, and me being... not knowing what I was doing, like kind of tickled her armpit a little bit. And I was just like, oh, my bad. What am I supposed to do again?
Right. That's just one thing about dancing, too, when you're a beginner. What I noticed right away, if I start messing up with one thing, it's just like a snowball effect, and I start messing up with so many other things.
I was messing up when she was telling me, she's, oh, you're doing so good. And then as soon as she would say that, I was just like, you know, you just have to shut your mouth.
Let it go.
Evidently, when you feed my ego, it just goes right out the window. Because you cannot feed it, at all. Right. She's like, it happens every time. Like, she's, oh, you're doing so good. You're picking up so fast. And then it's just like, oh.
Well, yeah, man, that should be fun. I met some of the regulars, though. There were, I'd say two of them were there.
Yeah.
A guy and a girl separately. One was doing, I can't remember, one was doing the salsa, and the other, I don't know. They were really good, though. This old dude, man, he was in there. Man, he was light on his feet. It was impressive. So, yeah, so, I mean, I guess anybody can learn this stuff. Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Living the dream.
Yeah, and they're telling me about, like, they do, like, in-house competitions to win more classes.
She's just like, I hope you're competitive. You're competitive.
Like, I mean, I am, but far as I just want to learn.
Yeah, right. Start with the basics.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, that should be an adventure. Okay, let's the internet
in Russia.
Russia, yeah.
Yeah. So you were listening. You told me you were listening to that that tech news podcast.
Yeah.
Did you hear them talk about Russia?
I didn't catch that.
All right. So evidently, we found out that Russia has been Russia has been looking for the internet lines. Like, I guess we have internet lines that run underwater.
Oh, I did hear about this.
And it controls like 95% of our internet.
Yeah, because they were talking about like how back in the day they used to use submarines to. There was like underwater telephone lines or something.
Yeah, like the U.S. used to do illegal taps on telephone lines.
Yeah, Russia's telephone lines. To hear what they were saying.
So you said Russia's using their underwater drones and their submarines and like scuba gear. They're going down deep, like the deepest parts of the ocean, the hardest parts to get to figure out basically where to mess up and cut up some lines.
Yeah.
You would shut, but the thing is, you would shut off 95% of the world's internet.
That's crazy.
That's a problem.
That is a huge problem. You know what's a huge problem? How many people know how the internet worked? That's what I'm saying, man. There's such a small number of people. That's power right there. That group that can have a true understanding of what connects this thing that everyone uses, but a handful of people understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, that could be a nightmare. That can truly mess up the world.
And that would cause grounds for an attack, too.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's like Russia is on that whole thing where they're just like, you know what? I'm just going to see what America's going to let me do. It's like that commercial's like, I'm not touching you.
Yeah, it's one of those powerful countries you can't mess with because it's like they have as much as we have. Good. Oh, this is close. This is way too close.
We got 4 seconds left?
Yeah, gotta go for the touchdown.
What, where we at?
Like on the 30.
Oh, really? So it's actually doable.
It's actually close, yeah. Man, this is a tight game. Let's see what happens. Oh, closer than that. We're on the 16. Oh, wow. Last play of the game. Let's see what the Steelers do. Down by 6. Oh, stupid!
Well, evidently you can tell that we lost the game.
Yeah,
and
just lost.
And Big Ben did not perform as we needed to. My prediction was wrong in thinking that we was going to beat the undefeated team.
Dang. This is a bad game now. Lost Le'Veon Bell, lost.
Yeah, he definitely could have passed that a lot better.
Damn.
But you'll have that. What, now we're 4-4?
Yep, I went to a new division.
We're 500.
Yeah, there's actually still a lot of football left.
I like your positive mindset.
Yeah. This is the team we need to beat, though. Look, we need to understand we can beat this certain teams. So,
We just couldn't perform.
Nah. It's a better team. Bengals were a better team today.
You ready to rap?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Cool.
Thanks, Kim, for listening.
Yeah.
We shall catch you next week. And I'll have more updates about some more dances that I may learn.
Yeah.
Some cha-cha and foxtrot, I think I'll be doing this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Foxtrot's actually pretty cool. That's kind of just like, they're foxtrot, they're playing like Temptations and stuff.
So oh, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, man. Why are you moving so fast? But, yeah. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great November.
Yeah. And, as usual, pound her on. We're out.